Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. This is part 2 of 6. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll have a slightly different feel on the podcast. It's just going to be me, myself, and I, as I chat through 6 of the most important and influential theories within marketing. This 6-part series is actually the second season in reviewing, explaining, and demonstrating how to use these powerful marketing tools, but it's the first time I've shared it on the podcast. So why am I doing this? Well, I've partnered up with Professional Academy. Intro on them a bit later. To bring all those aspiring marketers 6 Explain Alive videos, which you can catch on a Thursday, by the way, actually live. Link is in the show notes. Please join us, because I give you the opportunity to ask me any questions you might have. This has been put together to make you a better all-round marketer, from auditing right through to controls and measurement. This week, we're taking a look at stakeholder mapping. Hello and welcome if you've joined us. First things first, before I forget, if you've got any questions, there's a Q&A on Teams. Put the questions in there and I'll get to them at the end of this live. We'll stay on the live and I'll answer those questions. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on LinkedIn, then post them in the comments below. And again, I'll answer them at the end. Couple of teething problems last week in that I didn't get round to some questions because I didn't see them until after the live. If that doesn't happen or they don't come through in time, I will answer them, but it just won't be live, so everybody can't benefit from your questioning. So please, please, please do get your questions in if you do have any. You've got a fair bit of time to do that as well. Okay, so let's get on with the intro because that'll probably take us a minute, minute and a half, and by that time we'll have a lot of people watching and we can dive straight into our topic for today. So this is the second series Professional Academy have put on about marketing theories explained. And what we're doing now, this series is covering the strategic elements of marketing. So we're covering models and theories that will help you become a better marketer. We don't just cover the dry and dull and boring theories. We actually look to implement them. And hopefully I can be a bit of a guide into how you actually implement these theories. Brief intro to Professional Academy for those that do not know who Professional Academy are. They're a strategic partner of the CIM. They're also a globally recognized provider of marketing training, qualifications, and apprenticeships, of which I'm a proud tutor and mentor for all of those things. Little intro to myself, because why the heck not? My name is Peter Sumpton. I'm a marketing consultant, the Lego master of marketing, because I make all these marketing bricks and blocks that aren't really joined up, put them together into something that looks like it should do, that you will be able to break down and build again and again. Get your marketing working for you. I've been doing this kind of thing for around about 10 years now-ish with Professional Academy. Delighted to be part of their family. And I currently help them with the apprenticeships and CIM qualifications, as I said earlier. So a little intro into this series, the second series. All of this series and series 1 are available on YouTube and Professional Academy's website. So go and check them out. What we want to do in this series is look at everything strategically, from analysis and auditing, right through to control and measurement. So like we did previously on series one, it's kind of in a sauce stack, step-by-step approach. And hopefully, as we go through, you will see and understand that and our methodology behind doing it that way. Because any good marketing strategy or planning approach needs to be or needs to have a robust framework behind it, of which SOSTAC is one, if not my favorite model. Why do we do this? Well, we're doing this because there's a huge difference between a good and a bad all-round marketer. We want you to have the tools, the techniques, the theories, and the models, and how to apply them to become a good all-round marketer. And that's what we're here to do today. Again, any questions, please drop them in the Q&A or the comments below, and we'll answer them at the end. So what are we looking at today? We're looking at something called stakeholder mapping. We'll look at what it is and why stakeholders are so important and why stakeholder mapping is so important. First of all, let's cover off what a stakeholder is, because that's important and fundamental that we get some clarity around what a stakeholder actually is. So what we can class them as is anyone, or for that matter, any organization that can have an impact on another organization, i.e. ours, a project, one that we might be working on, or has an impact on us as an individual. Now, it's important to say at this stage that we shouldn't confuse stakeholders with shareholders. It's so easy to do. A shareholder can be a stakeholder, but a stakeholder might not be a shareholder. So just bear that in mind. We are talking about stakeholders. Now, to what extent a stakeholder can impact a business or a project or an individual, and what I'll talk about to just for simplicity, I'll just talk about the impact that stakeholders have on businesses from now on. The impact that they will have will be determined by the importance of each stakeholder, or how each business sees those stakeholders as important. So what do we mean? Let's give some examples. Let's put this into context. So this could be fundamentally people within your business or in another business. It could be customers, suppliers. It could be shareholders like we just discussed. But it could be also governments, authorities, those types of people. The list is actually endless because it's anybody that could have and can have an impact on what you are trying to do. And that is essentially the whole world, as we've seen in 2020. But we want to really put some rationale behind this. So broadly speaking, we can view stakeholders from the point of view of categorization. So what we'll do first and foremost is look at them from primary, secondary, and key stakeholders, and what we mean by that. So a primary stakeholder, this is somebody that can have a positive or negative impact on your organization. This is a direct impact, so you can see it, you know it, and you feel it. A secondary stakeholder might have an indirect effect on your organization. So that could be some kind of legislation, if you like. Now, it's important to note here that the lines are slightly blurred, okay, between all these. So there's no necessarily right or wrong, and that isn't a get out, but there's no necessarily right or wrong. It's hugely dependent on how the organization views the stakeholder and the impact they have. And this will differ for all types of organizations and in all types of industries. So what about a key stakeholder? So they will have a significant ability to influence the organization, but it'll have very little impact on them themselves. So we're talking government, we're talking authorities, watchdogs, and things like that. So they will have laws, regulations, those types of things, and they'll have a huge impact on a lot of businesses. But is passing that law having an impact on that key stakeholder? No, absolutely not. So those are the slight differences that we can highlight and we can say. So we've got primary, secondary, and key. That's great. Nice one, Pete. So we know who primary are, we know who secondary are, and we know who our key stakeholders are. Doesn't really help me out a lot. So what we've done there is we've highlighted who a stakeholder might be, who they are, what they might look like. But what we're here to do today is discuss stakeholder mapping. So let's put some analysis and some context around stakeholders to make them more manageable, so you can understand what can be done, how we can influence them rather than stakeholders influencing our business. And it's a two-way street. Remember, open transparency, data, information. It's all out there, so there's no hiding place, really. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to move on to actual stakeholder mapping. What the heck is stakeholder mapping? Well, as you can see on the screen, it's a visual representation of laying out all the stakeholders in order of impact that they will have to make some rationale. So what you see here is a simplistic viewpoint. I know some people that are looking on, some people that are on LinkedIn and YouTube and Facebook can't see that. But if I can, by the magic of StreamYard, I'm hoping that I can share my screen in some way, shape, or form. Maybe I can't, maybe I can. Let me have a look 1 second and then we'll get back to it. No, I can't, unfortunately. Sorry about that. So anybody that's on Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube, you won't be able to see the screen, but I'll explain it. So what you can see on the screen, if you're viewing on Teams, it's just basically like a spider diagram. And what we're saying is that where people are within the spider diagram, the closer they are to an organization, the more impact they will have on the organization or the company in this instance. So as you can see, a supplier will have a more day-to-day impact on a company than, for example, a financial institution. Now, that impact a financial institution can have may be a lot bigger in the long term, but on a day-to-day basis, suppliers, retailers, management will have much more of an impact, much more of a say. So that's a simplistic way of looking at it. So that's all well and good. So we can map out our stakeholders. So now we're into stakeholder mapping. We're into the theory behind it, which is fantastic. But I want to give you a bit more detail. I want to provide something to you that is useful and relevant for you. So what I want to do is to go into a bit more detail and introduce something called Mendelow's matrix. And what Mendelow's matrix does is it looks at power and interest per stakeholders at any given time. So it's more of a snapshot about where stakeholders are at this moment in time. So what does Mendelow's matrix allow us to do? Well, it allows us to identify stakeholders' power, interest, and attitudes towards a particular thing. The key thing to note here is that, as you can see on the screen, it's a simple XY axis into four different boxes, A, B, C, and D, of which are low power, low interest, high interest. Stakeholders are extremely dynamic. So what we need to understand is that they can move all over this matrix. But what this matrix allows us to do is understand and categorize stakeholders into groups of people, which is very useful for communicating or understanding how we need to communicate to these stakeholders. Remember, stakeholders are very varied and can have a variance of influence on what we do as an organization. So how do we use it? Let's get into a bit more detail about how we use stakeholders matrix. So first of all, as we did previously, and you saw on the previous slide, let's list all our stakeholders, no matter how little power or interest they may have in a project. And you could go on forever, but obviously use your judgment where you should stop in that. But list all the stakeholders. Then what we want to do is categorize them based on their interest of our organization and the decision-making power or influence they can have over our organization. So what you could do there is you could use the XY axis and denote it 1 to 10 on each axis, and then put a 1 to 10 for each stakeholder or group of stakeholders. You'll have a score of 20, map them on this Mendelow's matrix. So once we've mapped them on Mendelow's matrix, what we can do then, And as you can see, we've got certain things that we can note that can help us understand how we need to communicate with our stakeholders. So once we've mapped them, it's about monitoring. So all this strategic discussions that we're having in this series and previous series, the first series, it's not about doing this once and forgetting it. It's about continuation. It's about continually monitoring our stakeholders, continually monitoring what's going on in the wider world, or indeed in our organization itself. If we don't do that, then we might miss something. A stakeholder could become massively powerful or have more of an interest in what we're doing. Think ethically, think politically, think economically. Just those three alone, interest will be peaked dependent on different stakeholder categories. It's important we note that. So what we've done so far, we've got Mendelow's matrix and we've plotted where we feel these groups of stakeholders are. What do we do now? So let's have a look at each quadrant individually and what we should be doing for each stakeholder in that. So the first one is A, low power, low interest. And what we can say there is that we essentially need to monitor this category. We put minimal effort into it. They don't really have much power. They don't really have much interest in what we're doing. But that's not to say that this won't change. So we keep an eye on those stakeholders, but we don't pay much attention to them yet. For an example, this is probably your wider stakeholder network. So it's people that could have an impact. It's people that could show an interest. These people or these stakeholders are more prevalent if you're in a changing environment, if your company is changing itself, its culture, its values, what it does as a business. This segment becomes more important. But at this moment, let's leave that and go on to more pressing matters. So the second quadrant is low power, low interest, B on the screen. So what we want to do with these is keep them informed. These stakeholders have little power. Okay, so they're not going to impact our business very much. However, they show a huge interest in what we're doing. So they're probably bought in to what we do, but can't influence what we do very much. So, but think about who that might include. And this is where it gets hugely important. So you think low power, not going to pay them much, communication, not going to communicate to them an awful lot. But this could include employees. It could include business partners, could include suppliers. Again, take this with a pinch of salt. Because in some industries, these people have massive power. But we're just talking generalists here. So suppliers could have huge power, but we're saying they don't in this instance. So we need to keep them informed. So just because they've got low power, employees are hugely influential. They're hugely, hugely influential in what we do. We can't survive as a business without our employees. But the power they have, the majority, will be minimal compared to other people in the organization. So that's what we mean when keep informed. We want to keep them on side. We want these people to be happy, show major interest in what we're doing, and keep them on board. We've got enough to deal with in categories C and D. So as long as we keep our stakeholders in section B happy, then we can move on to section C. So section C is high power, but low interest, which sounds a bit odd. This is kind of where key stakeholders might be plotted. So these people are very influential in what we're trying to achieve, but they might show very little interest in us as an organization. Think back to what we were saying about key stakeholders there. As long as they're happy, minimal impact on what we're trying to do. They have the potential to be a disruptor though. So again, we want to keep them happy. I think the overall, the residing summary here is keep all your stakeholders happy to some way, shape, or form. Who might be involved in this category? Key stakeholders, governments, authorities, trade bodies, people that can have an influence on you. But they're not that interested in you as an organization if you don't step out of turn, as long as you abide by laws, legislations, those types of things. We can go on, but
I want to move on to the final category. And that's category D, as you can see on the screen, which is our key players. High power, high interest. And we need to manage these closely. Why do you think we need to manage key players closely? Well, these are stakeholders that can have a great impact and they show a huge interest. So we need to give them time. We need to give them attention. And they're probably fundamental to our future progression as an organization. So these are people like investors. Or we could categorize customers in here as well. Because they are hugely influential. Again, consider this with a pinch of salt. Every industry is different. Every company is different. So you might have customers dotted around A, B, C, and D. You could have people with low power, low interest, but then you bring out a new product and all of a sudden they have more interest. And these customers could be influential if you're selling high ticketed items, for example. So that's how you plot on Mendelow's matrix. That's how we take stakeholders and we plot them on Mendelow's matrix. So we can understand the different types of communication or the consistency in communication or how they could influence us as an organization and how much we need to monitor them as a company, as individuals. That's the kind of thing we need to do. Okay, so hopefully that provides a little input into stakeholders and stakeholder mapping. What's important is that we make this work for us. We understand how influential some of our stakeholders can be. We understand the form of comms that they need, the regularity of these communications, the form of communication, the actual content of that communication. And we can plot all this. So then we can start to map out how we communicate, when and who's doing what. Bit of a Gantt chart, if you like, just for communication within our stakeholder categories. That's how important Mendelow's matrix is and how important stakeholder mapping is. So how do we summarize this? Well, first and foremost, stakeholder mapping allows us to identify our key players, those that will influence an organization, that have an impact on our organization, and maybe those that might not, but we need to keep an eye on because at some point in the future, they may have an impact. So Mendelow's matrix allows us to find out who's the most influential. We can focus on those who will benefit us the most. Focus is probably the wrong word to use there. We can communicate in the right way to those that will influence us the most. Use it to our advantage. We can see where resources are needed to communicate and what those resources might include and how that might impact on our day-to-day activities as marketers, as a marketing department, as a business in whole. And we can also have a game plan, like I spoke about earlier, a Gantt chart, if you like, to manage, monitor, and control all these stakeholders. Fundamentally, it's about keeping everybody happy, keeping your main stakeholders, those key players happy. But who doesn't want to keep everybody in the world happy to some extent? Finally, if you don't understand your stakeholders, you're placing your views in a very, very insular and encapsulated way. You might be missing people, organizations, groups that can have a huge influence or can benefit you or can impact you or can help you. And you don't want to do that because at the end of the day, this might become a hindrance and it might cause major issues in the long term. So think about who your categories of stakeholders are. Think about how they might influence you. Think of how you can help them, make them happy, solve their problems, but also how they can help you in the long term. Okay. So I think that's enough for today on stakeholders and stakeholder mapping. Hopefully that's gone in. Hopefully Mendelow's matrix makes a bit of sense. Next week, please, please, please join us next week because it's my favorite topic, which is looking at strategic directions. And we're going to cover the TOWS analysis, T-O-W-S. So yeah, that's SWOT spelled backwards, but it doesn't just mean you look at threats, opportunities, weaknesses, and strengths. Means a lot more than that, and we'll dive into that next week. Finally, just to highlight that this series and the first series can be found on Professional Academy's YouTube channel. So check it out. Or if you go onto their website and their blog post, You can also find all the links from there. So from me and Professional Academy to everybody watching, finally, happy marketing. Okay, right. So just a bit of background. What I said at the start is that I would answer any questions that we have right now at the end. So if I can have the live screen, and then I will take any questions that might be around. So let's have a look. Again, apologies if you look, if you're watching on LinkedIn, for example, I might not be able to see your questions, but I will get round to that. And I will answer them in some way, shape, or form. So great, we've got two questions here. So let me have a look at this first one. So this is from Katie, and Katie says, would you be able to show an example of an industry you know, and where do the stakeholders sit, please? Oof, I mean, that is like a huge, huge loaded question there, to be fair. I mean, this is a bit of a scapegoat answer, to be fair. Google it and have a look to see what is going on there. The best thing to do, because I haven't got one that I can show you, unfortunately, but the best thing you can do is follow the process we went through then. So just sit down and list everybody that might influence your organization. However way, shape, or form they might influence your organization. And what you can do then is do a bit of a spider diagram like we showed there. So put your company in the middle and then just do it from the furthest point away or the closest point and then stretch out. So closest means they have more influence. And in that way, you will be able to see who's closer and who will have more influence from a stakeholder's perspective on your own individual organization. So that's kind of my personal preference of what I would do if we were stakeholder mapping for a particular organization or any company that I work with. I mean, so for example, let me think at top level, let's go to everyone's marketer's favorite, Coca-Cola. Just because it's off the top of my head and one that everyone can resonate with. So how much of an influence do their customers have on them? Well, en masse, massive. Individually, not so much. If you don't buy Coca-Cola, I'm going to buy Coca-Cola. Well, I won't because I don't drink fizzy stuff. But anyway, that kind of thing. There's always somebody ready to step in. From a supplier point of view, how much of an impact would a supplier have on Coca-Cola? Well, if you think of raw materials, probably not a lot, because who doesn't want Coca-Cola on their books? So think of a sugar manufacturer, for example. So the influence a sugar manufacturer would have on Coke is not so much. But having said that, if there was a minimal amount of sugar refineries, then the tables start to be turned because Coca-Cola are limited to who they can go to. And their influence on a stakeholder or the sugar refinery as a stakeholder would be a lot more on Coca-Cola than it was previously. So hopefully that gives you a good example of just one stakeholder from a fizzy drink manufacturer's point of view, and why it's important to monitor external environment and monitor how much of an influence each stakeholder is having, because things change, and usually it's because of the external environment, or it's usually from something the organization can't control or is fundamentally changed about what they do as a business. Okay, so hopefully that gives you some context. Okay, so we've got a question from Steve. So thanks, Steve. Isn't everyone to some extent a stakeholder? Great question. Yeah, basically, yes, to some extent. And it's to what nth degree do we take this? To what nth degree do we stop thinking of people of influencing our organization? Start with the main ones, spread out, and I'm pretty sure by the end of it, you'll get a good grasp on when you should stop, when they have minimal influence, and the chances of them ever impacting you as a business is like a percent, but it's still a percent. Keep them on the periphery, but I wouldn't spend too much time deliberating about how to communicate with them. Get to know those stakeholders that are closer to you. Okay, I think we've got one more question. If If I can have a look on this, and it comes from LinkedIn. Oh, okay. Abigail's just asking about do these sessions can they go to OCAM CPD? Yeah, they can, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Abigail. Sorry, I didn't see your question. First and foremost, apologies for that. But yeah, absolutely, they will do, because they are, if you like it, off the job learning. They also could link to apprenticeships as well. So anyone that's on an apprenticeship that's watching, yeah, feel free to dive in and use it as off the job learning. So those were all the questions I think we had. So finally, from me and Professional Academy, thank you so, so much for joining me, and happy marketing, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.